Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we have an all-pundit show going with Susan Fisher of McDonald Carano, Russell Rowe of the Rowe Law Group, and Alex Goff, the Democratic Party National Committeeman. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have an all-pundit show going today and a great lineup. Alex Goff is here, the Democratic Party National Committeeman, Russell Rowe, Managing Principal with Rowe Law Group, and Susan Fisher, Senior Vice President of McDonald Carano Government Affairs. Pleasure to have you all here. Susan, let me start with you. The Review Journal, in summing up in their editorial point of view, the session that just ended, Nevada's 32nd special session, a true low point. What are your thoughts?
I'll second that. It was horrendous. From a lobbyist point of view, from a public policy, from a public access point of view, it was just awful. The major discussions hearings didn't start until 11:30 at night on a lot of them. And you get 2 minutes, everyone had 2 minutes, even people, companies, industries that were vastly impacted by the bills, they didn't have appropriate time to really present and vet their side of it. And I thought it was absolutely horrendous. I've never seen that in all the years I've been doing this, 30 years now.
So what do you think caused this? Was this where LCB had to write the bills and get them printed up? Or was this just a plan to not allow the public and the lobbyists to be able to comment?
Still asking me? I think the latter.
And so where do we go from here? We have a real session coming up. Are we going to see a repeat of what we've seen in this special session?
I sure hope not. Where we go from here, we can only go up because it can't get much worse.
Sam, can I jump in on that too?
Yes, absolutely, Russell.
Yeah, I mean, I get the difficulties with COVID and having to prevent anyone from being physically at the session. Totally understand that. I think that's the correct move, and doing it online is certainly, we're capable of doing that. But to Susan's point, the fact that everything, almost everything important was done after 9 o'clock at night, oftentimes after midnight, is just unacceptable, right? For an open government and for transparency, and if you want public participation. And it didn't seem like there was a deadline, right? None of the proclamations said sine die by X day. So there was really no reason, it seemed, to not shut things down by 10 p.m. and said, we're going to pick up the next day and allow the people in Nevada to participate. And especially, again, to Susan's point, the industries that were under fire, particularly mining, no matter what you think of mining, giving them 2 minutes to respond to multiple bills like going after their industry. It was just not a fair way to conduct a people's business.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back with our Oil Pundit show after this timeout.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Ahern Rentals began as Signal Gas Station on Las Vegas Boulevard. Founder John Ahern grew the business by offering rentals. His son Don built on John's legacy, growing Ahern Rentals into the largest independently owned American rental company with 89 locations in 30 states. Don also brought his experience and vision to equipment manufacturing with Extreme Manufacturing and Snorkel. Today, Ahern Rentals continues to bring its family values to a new generation. Learn more at ahern.com.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have an all-pundit show going with Alex Goff, Russell Rowe, and Susan Fisher. So, Alex, what was your take on this session? You've heard the complaints so far. Are they valid?
Well, I mean, I think the time thing is certainly valid, right? I mean, I think that a lot of people were frustrated about how late into the evening some of the sessions would go. There seemed to be some confusion over the phone lines when trying to either speak in opposition to or support of or in neutral. And you heard people get out of order, and it seemed like earlier in the session there was a little bit more laxity with that as compared to where later they were a little bit more strict than that. And if there were complications on utilizing the technology, then that's certainly unfortunate. I hope that a lot of the frustrations are being heard by leadership, and that when we go into the full session that a lot of these complaints are heard, and hopefully we do it better. You know, I've been told by leaders in the city of Reno, different departments, that they tried to go down to Carson City in an attempt to get a conversation with someone, but the building was so locked down. And so when we're talking specifically about the police reform or things that affected the municipality and not being able to have a voice because maybe, during the bill presentation, there was a representative from the city of Las Vegas there. And so hopefully for the session, some of these kinks get worked out.
Susan, as a lobbyist, were you able to do your job? I mean, obviously I know because you and I were talking during all of this that you were monitoring every second of it. But did you feel you were able to fulfill your work for your clients adequately?
Well, I think so to some extent. We were in constant contact via email and text messaging, and I was getting text messages from legislators saying, what do you think about this? What does your client think this, you know, client A or client B think about this measure? So we were doing a lot of communications that way and also communications directly with caucus staff so that they could brief the entire caucus on what our positions were on things. So the hard part was sitting there at the computer all day long or, you know, wandering off once in a while, but staying close enough so that you could hear when the gavel drops. So that was the hardest part, because normally when we're there in the halls, we can have sidebar conversations with them. They're not always locked away in caucus. So that made it a little bit harder, and it was just, was mind-numbing just sitting and staring at the computer all day long for days and all night long for days.
Russell, you represent gaming interests, And certainly gaming and the culinary, who are usually on the opposite sides of everything, came together very strongly. Was this really as much discussed prior to the session as it was during the session?
There was significant discussion for sure. I mean, I've never been in a legislative session, special or otherwise, where there wasn't significant discussion before any legislation drops, especially if it's going to be impacting major industries or stakeholders. So, of course, there was a lot of discussion going on all of the key pieces of legislation.
Did it surprise you that in the liability laws that schools and hospitals were left out of it?
I wish I could say it surprised me. It didn't. I mean, I totally get the politics of it, and being able to count to get enough votes. You know, all legislators have their key constituencies, and that's just the part of the democratic process, is getting enough of the folks together and forging compromise to get to where you can approve legislation. That all said, there's no policy basis for excluding hospitals and healthcare providers and schools. I mean, there's just none, as was shown multiple times when the governor's staff was asked. I mean, they were non-answers, and that's, you know, frankly, where leadership needs to come in and tell key stakeholders, in an ideal world, of course, right? This is what we're going to do. We're in emergency times and situations, and we're not going to let the typical politics play out. We're going to protect all industries, and we're going to protect all workers. But, you know, you politically, could you have gotten to a majority in both houses? I don't know. And that's the rub, right? We'd all love to see those worker protections that are for places of public accommodation be extended to all places where folks work, and then have all the liability protections extended as well. But I just don't know if you could have gotten to a vote to approve it. And apparently the answer was no, you could not, because that's not what happened.
You know, Susan, just to comment on this, I talked to Mason Van Howling from UMC. He's the CEO there, and he didn't seem to be overly concerned about the liability issue for hospitals, that they were apparently taken care of already by the governor's emergency orders. But do you expect a rash of lawsuits coming against the schools if they open up as anticipated?
I think that there are some of the unions that will come after the schools. Yeah, I do think that the teachers union will probably do something. And they've got to have some protections in place anyway. I mean, every business out there has some sort of liability protection, but how far it can go is going to be the issue. With regard to the hospitals, I represent a healthcare interest physicians group, and they were very upset about this. Now, certainly they have their own professional liability, medical liability, but hospitals have been severely damaged, financially damaged through this pandemic, because the elective surgeries, where they really make their money, has been shut down, and it was shut down for months. So they're just starting back up, but it was interesting how they picked and chose which ones were in and which ones were out, which medical facilities. Ambulatory surgical centers were not carved out, so they still get protections. But the standalone emergency centers don't get any protection. So that's political.
To say the least. The other thing that Mason raised in our interview was that with the upcoming flu season, that's a peak time for hospitals, and he's very concerned about the occupancy rates during that peak time. If COVID is still raging, are we going to see a clash here of trying to accommodate all the people from COVID and flu? Do you have a quick response to that?
Well, I agree with that. I think we are going to see that, and I think there's going to be a lot of confusion when somebody comes in with the flu. Is it COVID? Is it flu until they get the test back? But it's just going to cause that much more fear. That's all I have to say about it. It's going to be a yucky season.
I actually want to respond to that quickly.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, Alex, I held you back here. Go ahead.
So interestingly, in Brazil, what they've seen with mask wearing, from what I understand, is that it's limited the normal flu season to where they're not transmitting it as usual. I could say from the position, I'm a union steward at work. And so one thing, we've been working with our company and thinking about these things. And so I'm less worried personally about the flu season coming up than maybe the CEO of UMC. I would like to be, you know, be aware of the concern. So I look forward to that episode. I'm less concerned about the flu season. My big concern is about access to testing. There was some conversation during the hearing about good actors and bad actors. And what I can certainly say is that a bad actor is proximity too, right? Someone we may see as good actors may not be a good actor all the time, every day. And it certainly depends on your proximity, I think, to the activity and what you're doing on a specific day. There was a provision in the bill to where it said, as long as you have a good process, and I'm paraphrasing, but it allowed for lapses and such. And so I think access to testing is very important, because that's how you catch the spread in the community. And right now, my big concern is that it seems like, from the public reporting that I'm seeing, is that we've gone backwards as far as access to testing. And as we move through these phases, one of the important components is access to testing. So I don't understand, I'm not from this perspective, but I don't understand from the perspective of a company how you feel comfortable, unless you have liability protections, if you don't have access to the necessary testing to be able to catch a spread in your activity. Some of the stories and some of the things I've personally experienced about tough choices that have to be made, where someone in a household is knowingly exposed to COVID, but you're waiting on a test for them. Well, what about their partner? What about their spouse? Do they continue going to work every single day? Because they've not knowingly been exposed to a positive test. So there's so many tough ethical questions that have to be answered every single day with our testing capacity, in my opinion, as poor as it is.
All right, so Russell, let's talk about gaming then, because we're seeing gaming opening up and being very successful at opening up. A majority, I would say, of the hotels in Las Vegas have opened up, limited occupancy, of course, at this point. But do you have concerns based upon what Alex is saying? Or do you think that the properties are doing everything that they can to make as safe an environment as possible?
Yeah, I think everyone has concerns, regardless of the industry, right? Across the spectrum, making sure workers and invitees are safe is a daily, hourly task, right? For the gaming industry, the fortunate thing is, for the gaming industry, they're used to being under significant regulatory oversight constantly. They're probably better prepared for that than any other industry that I can think of. Maybe mining is comparable in terms of oversight. So they have standards and protocols in place to implement regulations. So this is just another set of regulations to be implemented, not to downplay it. But they have the capacity to do it. And I'm also heartened to see that the Game Control Board is not messing around, where, you know, they filed a complaint against the Sahara. They see someone step out of line and they're going to come down on them, just like they do if they're serving someone underage at their bar or anything else occurs that is violation of any regulations, they come down on them. So I'm glad to see they're going to enforce these requirements strictly.
Susan, it was interesting. I know that certain people approached the Gaming Control Board about if they shut down the bar in their location, could they allow the slot machines on the bar to be operated with social distancing, because apparently those are some of the highest returning slot machines that are available. And Gaming Control Board said absolutely not, even without the bar being open. Does that make sense?
Well, I'm not sitting in the Gaming Control Board's shoes, in their seats. And so it's hard to second guess them, because they have a lot more information than I have. I have thought the same thing. Why not just shut off, unplug every other one, or every third one, or whatever they need to do? That seems to make sense to me. But then somebody's got to come along and clean the whole thing too after each person leaves. I don't know. I'm just assuming that they have more information than I do.
All right, let's take another. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Alex.
I'm just saying every day we're being faced with tough ethical questions such as these every single day, trying to operate and try to stay safe.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back after this timeout.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue on with our All Pundits show. We've got Susan Fisher, Senior Vice President of McDonald Carano Government Affairs. Russell Rowe is Managing Principal of the Rowe Law Group. And Alex Goff is Democratic Party National Committeeman. So let me start with you on our probably final topic here, Alex, which is what happened with mining and changes to the Constitution. We have a regular session just around the corner. Did this need to happen here, and was it appropriate?
I think it is appropriate because we were discussing a lot of cuts to a lot of government services, and so there was a large movement of people asking that the other side, the revenue side, be looked at as well. And so when you're looking at anything dealing with the Constitution, it's a requirement to have 2 sessions and then a bid to the voters. There's a couple of processes, but that's the one I think they're going to utilize this time. 2 sessions, then going to the vote of the voters. And so I think that gives ample time for a lot of discussion, a lot of conversation about what is the best way to go about it. There was a number of proposals put together, and I'm not an expert on each of the proposals, but what I'll say is that'll give the opportunity to create a really robust conversation about how to move forward. But I mean, in this time, I think that we certainly do need to look at both sides of the ledger, and for companies that are doing better in this time, maybe it is appropriate to have them put up a little bit more so that we can continue to receive the government services that especially the most vulnerable in our society need.
Does the Nevada Resort Association get nervous when things like this happen, Russell?
Well, sure. Sure. When it comes to industry-specific taxation and targeting specific industries, I think every industry gets nervous around those kind of conversations, and you know, particularly for mining, because you know, mining has, in my history around Nevada, has always been at the table for these conversations, often stepping up when no one else does. And their tax is not necessarily the easiest to tinker with. It really does take some thoughtful conversation with the industry. So in that regard, it's really tough to do it in a special session and really requires a more thoughtful process during a regular session.
Susan, we're seeing lots of concern coming out of Humboldt County, Elko County, Eureka County, and Lander County, where the mining revenue really makes a difference. With both of the plans to change the Constitution, this would mean probably devastating cuts in revenue to these counties. What's your thoughts on that?
And don't forget Esmeralda County, too, because that's where our big lithium resources are. And I see I've just frozen up on my end, so I don't know if it's frozen on your end or not. But, you know, the bad thing about this, just starting these discussions now causes a ripple effect in financial investors around the world who come and invest in the claims that are found. And it takes 10 or 15 years before, once you prove up a claim, before you ever get any mineral out of the ground or any resource out of the ground. And so this is going to have a very long-term effect, just having these conversations now, and then with anticipation of having them going forward into the next session and potentially on a ballot initiative.
And that's where we have to leave it. And Susan, nobody looks better frozen than you do. That's all I can say. We thank you all. It was a great discussion. Really appreciate it. And we look forward to having you all back. Thank you. And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Penny, Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they will.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.